Appreciate you guys, all you precious people. Hallelujah. Just a gift to us. Praise God. Amen. Well, I'm excited today. Are you guys excited? Hallelujah. He is just so good to us. Amen. Amen. Won't you stand this morning and praise God. Just open your Bibles today, or actually just hold your Bible up today. We're just going to do our confession. Amen. And let's say it out loud. Say it like you mean it this morning. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same in Jesus' name. Give somebody a high five. Say never the same. Amen. You guys want to turn on the lights back there too? Never the same. Amen. Praise God. You know, I was talking to Holly this morning, and I was just sharing with her some things, and really came down to about six or seven things that I feel like are the basics of Christianity in order to have and experience all the victorious life God has for us. Just six or seven things. There's six or seven things, and that I believe it's just really simple. It's not that difficult. And when you understand this, you know, being a Christian is not a hard thing. In fact, it's a very easy thing. In fact, it's much easier than what the world's going through. They just don't know what we have, right? And so I just kind of wrote these down. I just want to share these with you, and I may just, this is not all of my teaching today, but this is part of what I just want to project to you and share with you. And the first is just very simple. First is just receive Christ and his finished work. Receive Christ and his finished work. Everything that he's done for you, receive. Receive him. Just ask him to come into your life. Receive him by faith. Very simple. How many agree with that? Just simple, you know, we just ask him to come into our life, and we confess him with our mouth, believe in our heart, you know. The second thing that I think is hidden from most of Christianity, and even a lot of people, you know, a lot of preachers don't preach on this, don't teach on this, because they don't know how to handle it and properly divide the scripture. I've known Christians and pastors that used to teach on this, no longer teach on this, again, because they don't know how to teach on it, and there's been a lot of abuse with this, but it's next to salvation, I believe it's one of the greatest gifts that any believer can receive. But there's been so much abuse, there's been so much carnality with this gift, there's been so much flesh abuse with this gift, that a lot of teachers, they no longer teach on it, even though they have received it. They've received it, but they don't teach on it. And because, you know, there's been so much confusion with it. You know, if I had something, if I was the enemy, and if I had something that I knew was so powerful that that it would keep believers, you know, in just refreshed every day, I would certainly cause a lot of confusion with that gift. How many would agree with that? I mean, that'd be the number one thing I would do. And the Bible says that, you know, God is not the author of confusion. So I know it's the enemy. The enemy is the author of confusion, you know. So, and that is simply the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What a great gift God's given us. And really, when you look into the New Testament and you look at the writings of Jesus, and you look at the book of Acts, and you look at, you know, 1 Corinthians, and all the way through, and Romans chapter 8, all the way through there is about life in the Spirit or Spirit life. And so many churches and pastors, you know, cease to talk about this gift because of the abuse of the gift. And so people are afraid to even talk about it. They're afraid to teach about it. They think that, you know, if the Spirit is in the church, which he already is, and in all of us as believers, but if there's a manifestation of tongues, that, you know, it will run off people. And you know, and they won't, you know, they won't take time, if there is, to teach on that subject. And it, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the empowerment in your life. It is the gift of tongues is there for the believer, hello, to pray in the Spirit. Look at this great scripture over in Hey Jude. Hey Jude, you knew I had to, you knew I had to go there, right? Hey Jude, chapter 1, verse 20. Hey Jude, chapter 1, verse 20. Now, I'm going to try to get through all these and then get to my teaching today. But I have to go here because what's happened, a large segment of the church has thrown all this away. They've just thrown it away. They say, actually, all of this passed with the early church. That's how they explain it. And I want to go back to them and say, well, if that's true, then we're all in trouble, because salvation is the greatest gift. And if the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit and the baptism have passed with the early church, then so is salvation, and all of us are lost, and forget about it. Let's just, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, right? But that's further from the truth. But the enemy has taken this wonderful gift, because it is power in the believer's life, and has distorted this gift. And there's been a lot of abuse in Pentecostal and charismatic churches, and pastors have been afraid to address it and teach it properly. This is one thing I am not of. I am not afraid to address something. You should be thankful that as a pastor, I'm not afraid. Now, I do things out of love, and we'll get to that in a little bit, and some people misconstrue that, but as a pastor, I have to teach properly, because here's my ultimate goal. My ultimate goal is to see you as mature believers in Christ. What is a pastor for but to teach and see you as mature believers in Christ, impacting others for the good of the kingdom? Anybody say amen to that? That's a big part of my, I would be out of a job if that was not what I'm supposed to do. So I'm supposed to teach you, and a lot of people do not teach on this gift because they're afraid to. They're afraid they're going to offend somebody. They're afraid that, you know, if it does take place in the church, people are going to be run off. If somebody got up and spoke in tongues and there's an interpretation, that people are going to be run off because, wow, what's that? Well, you know, it's in the Bible, and it's in the New Covenant, and it's part of our blessing. But it needs to be taught on, and there needs to be order. Everybody say order. There's order in operation. God is a God of order. You better believe and think He is, because if He wasn't, this universe would be exploding all over the place. God has set everything in order. God is a God of order. Are y'all hearing me? I've been in services and before where there was nothing. People called it a manifestation of the Spirit, but really it was a manifestation of the flesh. And when that happens, you know, people they get afraid, they run off. First time I walked into a service like that, it scared me to death, just about. I thought I was going to die right there. I wanted to. I was so afraid. I said, what is going on in this place? Didn't understand it. Listen, that's why Paul did so much writing in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, 13, and 14, to explain the operation of the gift and to set that gift in order to the Corinthian church. Why, what was going on in the Corinthian church, where they are all coming together. Now listen to me, you got to listen. If you want to be teachable, you've got to have an ear. You've got to have an ear. They are all coming together in the Corinthian church, and they are all speaking in tongues at the same time. Now listen, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that if we're all believers and we've all received the gift. Go for it. Go for it. Hello? Y'all hear? I hear an amen.
go for it. If you're all believers, you're gathered together, and you've all received the gift of the Spirit, and you all want to pray in tongues. But in a public gathering, as the Corinthians were, as they were gathering as the body of Christ, Paul had to instruct them, look, if someone comes in from the outside into one of your meetings and they hear you all speak in tongues, will they not say that you're mad? That you've gone crazy? So when we gather as a church, I don't know if I will get to point 3, 4, 5, and 6 and get to my message, but this is good teaching because we need to understand and hear what the Bible really says. Anybody ever interested in what the Bible says? I'm interested in what the Bible teaches. So Paul set an order and he said, look, this is what you do. When someone comes into your worship service, don't all be speaking in tongues. He said, how can anybody that's there say amen to what's being said if no one understands what's being said? He said, I would rather that you prophesy when you're in a public worship setting. Prophecy is equal to the common language that we are in. What I'm doing right now, I'm not only teaching, but I am prophesying to you because I am teaching under the anointing of the Spirit in the common language of all of our people. And there's times when you will have a word as well. And Paul says, that's good. He said, when you come together, I'd rather that you all prophesy, teach one another, than you all speak in tongues, unless what? One interprets. He said, so let there be an interpreter there. And he said, even there, let it be done by one or two, and then let the other one, listen to this word, let the other one judge. You know, when somebody gives you a word, you have a right to judge that word. You can find all this in Corinthians 12, 13, 14. And he put 13 right in the middle because he had to tell those Corinthians. In fact, he called the Corinthian church carnal. He said, you are carnal. And I talked to Holly about this one. I said, listen, he's calling them carnal. He birthed this church. He was there, the great apostle Paul. And yet he's saying, are you not yet carnal? Some of you like Apollos. Some of you like Paul. Some of you like Cephas. Are you not yet carnal? Wow. You know? Some like Creflo, some like Andrew, some like Joseph Prince. Are you not yet carnal? Are you not yet carnal? Wow. So he set that in order. He says, so what happens, what should happen is when you're in a service and you're worshiping and someone has the gift of tongues, if they have a gift of tongues, then let another one interpret that. What is the interpretation? The interpretation is the prophetic word in the English language here in this country where we are for the most part. You know, there are pockets of Spanish-speaking people and pockets of all types of languages in our country. But as the church collectively, then someone would interpret that by the Spirit, by the same Spirit in the common language that we all might hear, understand, and be edified. It should edify you. It should build you up. Amen. And it's so vitally important. And, you know, this gift is such a great gift. And then Paul went on to, you know, talk about the other gifts that are in operation, the gifts of healing. You know, the gifts of healing. Amen. The gifts of tongues, the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of miracle. All these other gifts should be operating in the body of believers as we come together. Amen. Now, if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's the same way you've received salvation. You receive it by faith. And you say, Lord, thank you. The Spirit's already in here. It's not out there. A lot of people are looking up here, but he's really in here. He's already in you. Amen. God has given you the Spirit in you. He wants to baptize you. You know, when you put a glass of water and you fill it, you are filled. That glass is filled, right? How many know that when you fill a glass, it's filled to the brim? How many's ever filled a glass to a brim? How many's ever done that? But if you have a pitcher that's filled to the brim and you take that glass that's already filled and you take that glass and you put it down in that pitcher, then it's all absorbed with that water. The picture is bigger than the glass. So then that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And God desires that. And then, well, what about the tongues? Well, tongues will come. Amen. As you're praying, tongues is just should be a part of your prayer language. Look at, hey, Jude 120. Hey, Jude 120. But you, beloved, building yourselves what? Building yourselves up. What is that? That's in that soulish realm. The Spirit not only helps is in the Spirit, but the Spirit was designed to help our mind, will, and emotions. Amen. The soul of man is a filter. It's a filter. And I have a filter on my airplane. And what I do, and you have a filter in your car, and you should periodically check your filter. Why is that? What's the filter designed for? The filter is designed to catch debris so it doesn't get into the carburetor. Right? So how many's ever taken out your filter and it looks nasty? Anybody ever done that? Well, what the Spirit does, it just refreshes the filter. It's almost like cleaning the filter. Hello? Some of our filters need to be cleaned. We haven't changed it in a long time. We get you know, attitudes, and we get, you know, all of our emotions are there and all these things. And that Spirit is kind of like the refreshing or the cleaning of the filter. And when I'm praying in the Spirit, it's just cleaning my filter. Hallelujah. It lets me know how good God is. It puts my mind in the right perspective. It knows that He's never left me or forsake me. There's so much benefits. I'm building myself up. I'm praying in the Spirit. On your what? Holy faith. Wow, when I'm praying in the Spirit, my faith is being refreshed. The faith that's in me is just flowing out of me at that time. Man, we have missed such a blessing in the body of Christ. When do I do that? In my prayer closet. When I'm alone with the Lord. When I'm driving in my car. When I'm working at the dealership. People don't have to know. You don't have to be loud to pray in the Spirit. You don't have to be that loud. And by the way, the Spirit is subject to the prophet. People say, I can't control it. Flesh, carnal, not spirit. Spirit is subject to the prophet. You can control it. God gave you the authority. Amen. But then you can release it. I know we're all believers here, so amen. You can release it in your prayer. And your prayer language is a beautiful thing between you and the Lord. It's a personal, wonderful thing that God desires you to have. Amen. If you haven't received it, ask God for it. And then open up your mouth. Then receive and just speak in tongues. Amen. It's kind of like when you used to get shoes, they had tongues with them. Anybody remember that? Well, it really, you know, your salvation comes with tongues. I just thought I'd throw that in. Praying in what? Praying where? Praying in what? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. That is the greatest thing. Folks, if you're having a moment in your life where you find frustration coming in, pray in the Holy Spirit. When you have a moment in your filter, you feel like it's getting clogged, pray, and it'll change your whole perspective. You'll fall in love again. Amen. You'll fall in love with the Lord. You'll fall in love with life. Everything will change. Hallelujah. And we do not, I'm telling you, that gift, I'm not afraid to teach on it. I may not have 1,000 people here yet, but I'm still going to teach the truth. I am still going to teach the truth. I am not going to water or dumb down the gospel just to have a crowd of people. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that. I cannot do that as a pastor. I'm going to stand up here and teach the truth. I may be abused. People may talk about me, all these things. I don't care. I'm going to teach the truth. I am obligated to teach you the word of God so that you'll be able to rightly divide that word, stand up against the onslaughts of the enemy, know who you are in Christ, and overcome every situation in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 And the truth sets you free. It's the truth you know that sets you free. It's not just, you know, you've got to know it in order to be free. And I spend a little more time on this because we need to hear this. I mean, I know there's so many pastors that don't teach this any longer. And they've gone for a big crowd, and crowds are good. I like crowds. Love crowds. Crowds give me more opportunity to talk about God's grace and unconditional love. And just to, you know, I love that. Love that. Amen. But there's so much more in the believer's life. And the reason so many Christians are struggling today is they haven't really understood all that God has and done for them. And when you understand every arsenal that God has given you against the enemy, there's no reason that you ever have to be defeated or have a blue moment. A blue day, a blue month, a blue week. No fear coming against you. If you're having fear, is that filter thing. You know, I was out there at the airport. I had seasoned instructors out there. And I talked to a guy, and he said, I said, I want you to go up with me in the plane. And he was afraid. Well, it's experimental. Well, it didn't mean anything. Every plane's experimental if you really want to get down to it. Somebody's got to experience it, right? You know. No, it's not built at a factory that says Cessna or Piper, you know, but sometimes these experimental are a lot better than those, you know, but he was afraid. So I had this precious guy. This is so cool. This guy, you just have to know him. His name's Mike, and he was so precious. He's got an old warplane, a two-seater warplane. Cool, you know, and he says, well, nobody else go up with you, will they? And I said, no, I can't. He's an instructor. Has 20,000 landings out at Greenfield, out of Mount Comfort. 20,000 landings, over 20,000. He said, nobody go up with you. I said, no, they're afraid. He said, well, he said, you need your biannual review, don't you? I said, yes, sir, I need that as well. He said, well, we'll go up in my plane, and I'll give you a biannual review, and then we'll check you out and get you. All right, that's fine. Well, he kept hanging around my hangar. Now, this guy's pretty old guy. Maybe he's not that old, but he's been in motorcycle accidents. He's been in race car accidents. He's broken about every bone in his body, and he doesn't get around too well, but he's a flight instructor, and he's one of the top-notch ones. So he kept talking, kept hanging around the hangar, you know, and next thing I know, he's got a chair out, and I see him climbing up into my plane, and he takes about 10 minutes getting in it, and he finally gets it, because it's kind of tight. You have to get in there, but once you're in it, it's like you're sitting in a race car. You kind of sit back. And he's in there, and I said, Mike, what are you doing? He said, well, let's go. I said, what? He said, come on. He said, let's go. We're going to taxi around a little bit. Really? Yeah, let's taxi around and see how it operates. So we got out, and we taxied around a little bit. It was so, I'm just telling you guys, I know I'm off subject. Just give me a minute. Taxi around a little bit, you know. He said, well, let's take it out on the runway and said, see how it kind of, you know, we'll fly it off the ground a little bit, and then we'll set it back down. As soon as I got out there and I hit the power, it just wanted to fly. The baby wanted to fly at 30 miles an hour. It was wanting to go. So we came back around again, and he said, well, let's do that one more time. We'll see if we want to take off. Well, we did it one more time, and about the time it started to take off, he said, give it full gun. And, boy, we just shot up in the air. You know, that was so cool. He came back down, and we flew yesterday, did four landings, and came back down. He said, man, you're good to go. Signed off on my biannual flight review. Gave me a plane. I'm a check ride. I'm Jesus, you're so good. I don't know. I had to get that in there somewhere. I just had to. Amen. Now let's go back to this. Amen. I want you to get this, church. If you haven't, you know, experienced, received this wonderful gift, receive it. Receive it. You know, Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen. It was that prophetic word before Pentecost. Amen. And God gave him. He said, I want you to be my witnesses. He said, you know, tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Jesus said that. He said, tarry there until you're endued with power on high. God poured out his spirit, said they are all in one accord. I don't know how they all fit, all 120 in a Honda, but they are all in one accord on the day of Pentecost. and the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. Thank you for that, brother. Amen. I can receive that. Amen. Amen. And listen. And they all spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Wow. It's a great gift. It's the gift that helps your filter be refreshed and renewed. Amen. It's wonderful. Amen. So, all right, where am I at? So, amen. I think the third thing is identity in Christ. Your new identity in Christ. Identifying with Him in every aspect of your life. 1 John 4:17, what does it say? You guys know I love this scripture. As He is, so are we in this what? World to come. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus. No, right now in this world, as He is, so are we. Well, I'm telling you, as He is right now is without a headache. As He is right now is without a financial problem. As He is right now, He is in good health. He doesn't have arthritis. He doesn't have heart condition. He doesn't have problems. As He is, so are we. He is in full peace. As He is, so are we. I identify and do not receive anything that not as He is. My identity is now rooted and grounded and founded in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's who I am. That's who I am. Amen. Who He is who I am in Christ, in my spirit. That's who I am. Signed, sealed, delivered. Baby, I'm yours. Woo! I love that. Was that Stevie Wonder? Was it? Okay, yeah. La, 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 la. My Holly Amore, lovely as a summer day. I am signed, sealed, delivered. In Christ, you have that new identity. You are new in Him. Brand old things are dead, gone. Amen? So is that 3, 4, or 5? All right, identity, your identity in Christ. Renewing your mind, whatever one this is, renewing your mind to all that you have become and to all that He's already provided for you. This is that ongoing process of change, transformation, of renewing your mind to who you are in Christ. What a powerful thing it is to understand all that God has for you. And by taking this mind that God's given us, and, you know, a mind is a terrible thing to waste, so don't waste it. Taking it and renewing it, and how do you do that? You renew it to what God's Word has said about you. We are transformed. This morning, you're being transformed because you're hearing and knowing and changing your mind to what God's Word has said about you and who you are and what you have. You have it, praise God, already. Renew the mind to what God has. Wow. Give voice. Here's the next one. There may be 7, 8, 9, but it's still simple. If you'll write these down, it will help you in life. It will cause you to overcome every day. Amen. When you're facing obstacles, and we do in life, it's part of life, but we can live victorious if we have these things, basics, in our understanding. Give voice to your victory. Give voice to your victory. In other words, line up your mouth with what He's given you. And don't accept what the world's standards are and what they've set for you. Man, that is good. Don't accept their standards. Flu season, bird flu season, hog flu season. No, don't accept. My daddy died with this, I die with that, my mama had this, I'll have that. Alzheimer's disease, old-timer's disease, new-timer's disease. Don't accept those things. Amen. Don't even go there. Let your confession, let your yea be yea. Amen. He said, all, I have promised you all these things in Christ Jesus. Yes and amen. Hello? So on a daily basis, Holly did it. I want to ask you something. How did you feel, and I hate to use the word feel, but how did you feel when Holly was up here giving you and you were confessing that word? How many felt just awesome? You just felt like, I'm an overcomer. Anybody besides Pastor? Because your mouth was designed more than just to talk. Just to run it. God gave you and made you a speaking spirit, and he gave you a mouth to confess his word on a daily basis over everything in your life. I take the word, I take the authority, I confess that word over that situation. It is a closed case. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I can do all things. All things. Even put a plane together. All things. Through Christ who strengthens me. There is nothing you cannot do through Christ. Give voice to your victory. Tell the devil who he is and put him in his place. Dirty, rotten liar, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Amen. 5, 6, 7, 8, lay them straight. Have a positive response. Faith. To the abundance of grace that God has provided. Faith is simply that positive response to what God has provided. Faith and grace. This is what I was going to teach on today. Now I got something for next Sunday. Faith and grace are some of the most powerful weapons we've ever received. Grace is the most powerful thing God has provided for us. If it wasn't for grace, none of us would be here. Grace is God's part. It's God's plan. It's what God has done. Faith is our response to receive what God has done. Faith is our response to receive what God has done. We walk by faith, not by sight or our senses. We are faith people. Hebrews 4, can you find the scripture for me? Mixed with faith. They did not mix the word with faith. I think it's Hebrews 4 something. Someone find that for me real quick. I had it down somewhere and I lost it, but I want to give you this morning. And just one more thing I want to share with you, but can you find that real quick? I'll pull out my phone if you can't. I should know it. I had it. 4:2. Hebrews 4:2. I know it's there. Hebrews 4:2. For indeed the gospel, look at this. This is so interesting to me. Speaking of people in the old covenant, he was talking to the Hebrews, to the Jews, right? He was actually talking to Jewish believers here, who were wanting to go back under the law. That's what was going on. That's why it's called the book of Hebrews, because he was writing to Jewish believers who were wanting to go back under the law. But do you realize the gospel was preached to the Old Testament saints? We're looking backwards at the cross. They were looking forward to the cross. Do you realize that? It was preached, and he said, for indeed the good news, the grace, the gospel, the good news, was preached to us as well as to them. Preached to those that believed here now today, what he was talking about, as well as to the patriarchs. It was preached to them. God showed up and showed Christ in everything. Christ is seen throughout the Old Testament. The Old Testament hidden is the New Testament revealed. Amen. Christ is seen throughout all of the Ark of the Covenant, through everything. It was all about Jesus. Everything was about Jesus. The sacrifices, everything, the Day of Atonement, everything was about Jesus. Wow. But the word which they heard did not what? The word they heard did not profit them. Is that the case in a lot of people's lives? The word they hear does, I want the word to profit me. I want the word to add to me. Amen. I want God's word to profit me. Let it profit me. Amen. I want to really profit me. How about you? Why wasn't it? One simple element was missing, and it's not a simple one, but it's this. What was it? The word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith. Not being mixed with faith. Grace and faith go together. Grace and faith. You take just grace, you can be in trouble. You take just faith, you can be in trouble. It's kind of like salt, sodium chloride. That's salt. How many know that? Any chemistry majors here? You take sodium, you take chloride, they're poison. You put them together, they're delicious. Just like, I love that, Jeff. Just like grace and faith. You take grace and you get over here to the extreme. You take faith, you get over here to the extreme. But God has got a balance. Grace and faith hand in hand. The abundance of grace. Paul taught so much. You know what's part of the problem of the Corinthian church? I really believe God gave me revelation on this. You look at the Corinthian church, they were a bunch of messed up believers. How many would agree with that? You know, they were. You know why? Because Paul was such a proponent of grace. He was such a proponent of grace, they felt like everything goes. In fact, I can sleep with my mother, my father's wife. Hallelujah. Grace. Well, you can, but it'll cause you some trouble. Hello? You might get shot and you might get killed by your own father. Hello? You can. Hello? Amen. You're forgiven. He was forgiven even before that. But Paul addressed it and said, hey, he said, that guy, it's not good that that should be among you. Not good that that should be taking place. Hello? Paul said, it isn't good. You know, he said, put him out of your fellowship for a while. Woo! Put him out. Glad I wasn't the pastor there. Put him out of your fellowship. Paul was. Paul said, put him out of your fellowship for a while. Amen. And then receive him back. Why? Because it was such a gross thing going on. And in 2 Corinthians, you opened up and you see grace again. Grace receiving people back. Grace always receives. Amen. Paul said his life was changed. So he wrote them. They were so messed up going on. And Paul said, Paul had to write and tell in Romans, he said, should we sin that grace should abound? What did he say? God forbid. But why did he have to write that? Because people were saying, hey, we can do anything, you know? It's grace. Grace is freeing. Oh, my gosh. Because it's grace at the cross that we've received, and it frees us from all that ugly stuff. Amen. And we receive it for one another. We walk in grace, you know? You love people where they are in grace. Amen? And then you get over here to the faith thing. And faith can become legalistic. How many give me 5 more minutes? Give me 5 more minutes. Anybody? 2 of you? Nobody? 3? 3 more minutes? I'm going for 3. 3? 3, 2, 1? Amen. And then people misconstrue you. I've talked to people, you know, and say, hey, I love you. You know, I care about you. I want to help you. And when they do that, they feel like I'm coming against them. I never come against anybody. My whole point of doing anything in the church is just to love people and make them better. Never got mad at anybody. People have been mad at me. I've never been mad at them. Love people. And then people take things and misconstrue it. Amen. But grace comes in. And that's what Paul was saying. He said, allow grace to come into your life. Amen. And you just love people as they are, and you try to help them. How many want to be helped? Anybody want to be helped? I want to be helped. You know what? I have a teachable spirit. I've had people sit down. I've had pastors sit down. When I was growing up as a young man, trying to understand, trying to learn, you know, I had a pastor set me down one time and said, look, you got to not do this, not do that, not do this. And I was like, wow, really? Really? He said, yes, really. I said, really? Pastor T, is that what you're telling me? He was my pastor for 10 years. Great man. You know what I said? No. Are you kidding me? How many believe pastor said that? You know what I said? Yes, sir. I love you, Pastor T. Thank you for helping me out. I needed some help. I want to grow. I have a heart. I want to grow. Always have a teachable spirit. Always be able to be taught. You know what? If I got in that plane, my first flight, and I didn't listen to this instructor who had all these hours, and I'd said, no, this is my plane. I'm taking it up. I'm going to do what I want to do. You just sit there and shut up. If I did that, what would happen? Crash and burn, baby. Right? Is that silly? How many ever had a driver's instructor? How many of you drive? Anybody drive? Anybody drive? How many remember when you first started driving? Did it freak anybody out? Did you freak anybody out? Yeah, I had practice on the tractor, and I still think the guy that rode with me was afraid. You know what Robert told me this morning? I'm going to reveal you, brother. I hate to do this, but I'm just going to do it. I'm going to reveal you. He was drag racing. Grace. He was drag racing this weekend. He said, oh, I drag raced some. I said, what? I love it, man. That was so cool. But you know what? You sat there and you listened, and you heard, and you grew, and you finally learned how, hopefully, to drive. Now, some people still haven't learned, right? But you hopefully learned to drive. Because it's just, and Paul was saying, hey, I'm just full of this grace, but I want to teach you. Grace teaches us something. And we have to be open, and we learn, and we grow, and we love one another. Amen. And you forgive one another, and you care for one another, and you grow some more. And I remember Pastor T, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but I sat 10 years under Mr. Traficano, Pastor Traficano's ministry. He was flat-footed, just solid teacher of the word. And there's many times as a young believer in Christ, he corrected me and helped me. And I grew from that. And you know what? I love that guy so much because you know why? He had my best interest in mind. Amen. Amen. And God's word has your best interest. God's word has the best interest for you. And when it comes across and it goes, and you kind of go, ouch. How many's ever had an ouch moment from the word? Ouch. Lord Jesus. Oh, okay. Thank you, Lord. And you know, it's like, wow, okay, thank you, Jesus. And it's good. And you grow. Folks, I believe God has us to grow. Amen. Okay, here's the sixth, seventh, eighth thing. I'm going to give you this close. Here it is. We are ambassadors for Christ. We take what we have. We don't get offended. We love one another. We show that love to others. Amen. Right? Are y'all here? Amen. And we share it with them. We share the grace of God that we have. Let me tell you what God's word has taught me. I want to share this with you. Man, you're going through this situation. I want to share something with you. Amen. You've been through heartache. I want to share something with you. Amen. And then we're open and receive. We just open and we receive his word into our life. Let's stand this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you open up your mouth this morning and say with me, I am blessed. I identify with everything I have in Christ. I am in him today, highly favored, walking in righteousness, empowered to prosper. I confess his word. It is the victory I have in Christ. I receive the abundance of grace for myself and, listen, for others. I'm quickly to forgive. quick, folks. Be quick to forgive. Amen. Don't take offense. Be quick to forgive. Release people. It'll help you. Amen. You'll live a much better, happier life when you do that. Amen. Just release them. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm totally forgiven. Full of the Spirit. Full of His love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hug 7 people this morning. Tell them I am full of His love. How about you?